Okay, this is May 19th, and the topic this month is Let Go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And when we say such is the nature of life that all at once and all it asks is an opportunity to appear, this thing that we call God or this thing that we call the universe, you may call it anything you want, is always looking for an opportunity to come through your consciousness. And for it to come through your consciousness, you must change your mind about it. You must do that. You must give it an opportunity to appear in your life. And we do that by letting go of all the negativity, by letting go of all the preconceived notions that we have about ourselves, about the world, and about this thing that we call God. We just let those old concepts go out. And when you do that, you allow your mind to become new. When you allow your mind to become new, or renewed, we say, then this thing called God, this consciousness, can operate in, as, and through you. Now, when I say this thing about consciousness, there is only one consciousness, and that's the consciousness of God. And we so many times think that we have a consciousness and you have a consciousness and this person is. No, there's only one consciousness, the consciousness of God. And what we are trying to do is align ourselves with that consciousness. When we can align ourselves with the consciousness of God, we can manifest in our lives what we want. When we're not manifesting in our lives what we want, it is because of our thinking. It is not because God holds anything against you at all. God wants you to have everything, but we must make a way clear for that to come in. It's the same way when you're gardening and so forth. You must prepare the soil. You must prepare for it. You can't just throw seeds out on rocks and expect it to do anything. And so many people just throw ideas out there and they don't have a consciousness for them to grow in. You must change your consciousness. You must make it fertile so that this thing called God can come in and move through you. That's the only way you're ever going to experience God on this plane of action, is through you and through your thinking. And we're all connected with this thing called God. But God, for some reason, is so polite, and God does knock on the door, but so lightly that most people don't hear it. God doesn't run around banging like we do. Bang, 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 bang. God knocks very gently. And so many people don't hear the knock. And we must learn to hear that knock. And we learn to hear that knock when we slow our minds down. When we let go of all the mind chatter, all the clutter that's going on from the world outside. You know, we live in this world, and this world is just constantly after you for your attention. It wants to take your attention away from what the important things are in your life. It wants to always gnaw at your consciousness, and you must not allow it to do that. When we are able to see what's going on in the world, when we're able to see how conditioned we are, or how conditioned we have been, we can clear our minds so that our mind then is a clear vessel so that we can fill it with what we want. Most of our minds are filled with other people's concerns. Most of our minds are filled with other people's opinions, especially other people's opinions about what the world is and what we are. You must learn to fill your mind with your own opinions, with your own viewpoints, with your own beliefs, and so forth. Just don't take anything for granted that comes down the pike. Most of the people that are operating on this plane of action are so used to believing everything that they hear, especially if they watch Fox News and so forth. They think, oh, they're telling us the truth. I want to tell you that they're not telling you the truth. There's no truth in any of that news whatsoever. So, just notice that stuff. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean that you have to turn off the television set completely. It means when you turn on the television set, you have to know what you're doing. I often talk to you about Raymond Charles Barker, the minister that had the big church at Alice Tooley Hall in Lincoln Center in New York. He would read the New York Times, every page of the New York Times. Then, when he was finished reading it, he would slap his hand down and say, not a damn bit of truth in it. Not a damn bit of truth in it. It was all facts. All facts. And that's what we must do. It's all right to do that. It's entertaining and so forth, but you have to... There's no truth in most of the stuff. There's no truth in it. So you have to find the truth. Your truth, not my truth, or not Ernest Holmes' truth, or Science of Mind. What is your truth? What do you actually believe? Do you believe that there is an intelligence and a wisdom that permeates everything? You know, we're becoming closer and closer in science to realizing that. One of the things that Ernest Holmes said, one day, science and religion will walk hand in hand with each other. And it's starting to do that very quickly. Because now we know that there has to be, the scientists, that there's a wisdom of some sort going on in the universe, or all this stuff that goes on couldn't go on. It just couldn't, you see. So there has to be an intelligence behind this. There has to be a wisdom behind this. And we want to be able to tap into that. And we can tap into that when we let go of all the preconceived notions that we've been spoon-fed for so many years. So many years, we thought what people told us were absolutely true. I remember when I went to college, I thought, well, those professors must know what they're saying, or they wouldn't be teaching. Well, I discovered that that wasn't true. They had no idea. I mean, they had some concept, but they weren't always sure of what they were saying. They were just spouting things out. They were just regurgitating stuff that they learned and so forth. So you have to learn to what? Think for yourself. Think for yourself. And allow this thing, what we call God or we call the universe, allow it to come into your consciousness so that you can expand this consciousness. Only through expanding your consciousness by getting new and bigger and better ideas are you going to be able to manifest what you want. We stay around. I had a young man in my complex there the other day, was walking his dog, and I noticed that he had an injury on his knee. And I said to him, Brian, where did you get that lump on your knee there? He said, well, you know, when I was in New York, I fell down on the sidewalk and I hurt myself. And he said, wouldn't you know it, I had a brand new pair of pants on. It always happens that way. It always happens that way. He had no idea what he was saying. But you see, we let that, you know, we've heard that from so many people, and he heard that from his parents or something. So he thinks if you have a brand new pair of pants on, something's going to happen to you. You have to get rid of that type of thinking. That type of thinking no longer works, you see. It worked back when. my other thing, my parents. They always said, we bought another lemon at the car. Another lemon came our way. Well, that's what they thought they were buying all the time. You see, that's in your consciousness, and you draw that stuff to you. So you have, it's just these little things, and you have to correct all those little things. If you want to build your consciousness, you can't have a little thing in the back of you saying, oh, I always buy a lemon, you know. You have to say, I buy the right and perfect car. Why do I buy the right and perfect car? Because this wisdom, this intelligence, this thing we call God is always working in as and through me. It's always directing me in the right way. See? No, this is what this teaching is about. It's correcting those small little things in life. So we can all do that, but we have to watch. We have to watch and notice what our mind is doing to us. And most of the people are not watching what their mind is doing to them. You see? I told you the story about my brother having the heart attack and I called. And I said to his wife, well, what's he doing? She said, he's watching the news. You see? He had no idea. And you cannot tell those people. They have to find that out on their own. Although his wife said, you know, we do devotionals every morning. Well, I've been there. I haven't seen them do a devotional. The last time I stayed with them, every morning they got up and the first thing out of their mouth was, I'm pissed off. That pisses me off. I thought, that's your first thought in the morning?
Maybe that's their devotional.
Maybe that was their devotional. But you can't say anything to them. They have no idea that that stuff's going on. So what I'm trying to say here, you have to become aware, you have to notice, you have to become conscious of what's going into your thinking, what's going into your mind. And I'll tell them one more story about my brother and sister-in-law, since I'm going home. I am not staying with them, by the way. It's too much for me to stay with them. They drug me to their church, the Pine Tree Presbyterian Church. And I said, well, don't take me there again. Because they made the congregation stand up and say, I am unworthy. Say it.
It goes, Lord, I am unworthy to receive you. Just say the word, and I shall be healed.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. We
used
to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, I wasn't going to do that in his church. I just would not repeat that or do that. And I said to him, Jack, I'm not going to say this, but, you know, this anthem or whatever they called it at the beginning of the service. But here's the kicker on that one. I said to the wife, Patsy, I can't say that. She said, we don't say that. I said, oh, Patsy, you most certainly do. No. We don't. I said, Patsy, it's in the program. She says, oh, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. It was right there in black and white in the program. And they don't
see that.
They don't want to see it. They don't want, they just, but that goes in to your mind. And if you start ever to think that you're unworthy, you're not going to get anywhere in this life. That's why we teach, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. We have to know those things about ourselves. And that's what this intelligence, this wisdom, wants us to know. You see, we matter a great deal to the universe. You see, the universe would be incomplete without each and every one of us. It would be incomplete. Now, if I could tell my brother and sister-in-law that the universe would be incomplete without them, they probably would never invite me back to their home. I mean, it's just so funny. So that's why I call it the land of naught. Well, I'm going to stay with my cousin, and he and his wife know this teaching. They both do daily word, and they both are good thinkers. And they're grandparents now, and they're subtly trying to teach their grandchildren this concept so that the grandchildren grow up differently and don't. See, when we grow up, we had too much, we learned too much garbage, didn't we? We had to get rid of all this garbage, all that stuff that we thought was real, that we thought, oh, they're grown-ups, they must be telling us the truth. And it's not that they were out to get us or anything, they just didn't know either. And it was so much easier for them just to live the life the way their parents lived and the way their grandparents lived. So we can't do that to ourselves anymore. If we want this teaching and we want this world to change, we have to change our consciousness. We have to let go of all those things. We have to let go of the past. I think one of the affirmations on the affirmation page, there's the idea that you must forgive and forgive instantly. So, forgive those people. They didn't know what they were doing, and they didn't do it deliberately to you. But grow up with your thinking and so forth. Become mature in your thinking and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm not going to do it. I was fortunate enough to be able to move away from that thinking, from that thought atmosphere. Those people are completely immersed in that thought atmosphere. And they feel very comfortable because everyone else is thinking the same way. Because everyone else is thinking the same way. So they think, oh, well, everyone else is thinking this way. It must be all right. It is not all right. It is not all right. So we have to break that. We have to break that chain that has been going on and on and on and on and on. So that we see things differently. And that we bring something new into this world instead of just repeating the same old thing over and over and over. So, that's what this month has been about, learning to let go. And as I said at the beginning of this month, I could have made it let go and let God. But God is a constant. You do not have to say let go and let God. What you have to do is let go of all the thoughts in your mind that no longer serve you. All that craziness that you were taught from your parents and your family and the society that you grew up in at the time. Let it go. It doesn't bring you anything. You have to let go. And when you let go of all that, you make room for something new to come into the world. Why do most people, and in this teaching, they come, they listen to the classes, they go to the services, they do all the stuff. But they never seem to get anywhere. Because their vessel is already full. And once the vessel is full, you can't put anything in it. If you have a vase at home and you fill it up with water, now it's full. Now you're going to put new water in, where's it going to go? It's just going to run down over the side. You have to get rid of the old water. You have to empty your mind of all that so that you can add something new. And that's what happens in these new thought teachings and so forth. No one wants to give up the old. They want to hang on to it. And when your vessel's full, there's nothing that can be done. It's full. It just runs off of you. So you have to empty that vessel. Make it empty. So you can put something new in there. That's all it's about. That's all this teaching is about. That's all your life is about. Giving up the old so that you can get the new and receive the new. So we're taught to hold on to all these things, that they're so important and so forth. I have learned years ago to give up almost anything. I don't even remember what happened this morning. Now, I'd have to really think. Years ago, I prided myself on remembering everything. I could tell you everything. But I got too full. I had to let all that go. And then I came to the realization that it doesn't matter what I did this morning. It matters what I'm doing right here and right now. That's what matters. So, let go. Just say to yourself, I'm letting go of all this. What's the main thing that most people, they never want to let go of all what they think are the hurts, the hate, and the slights in life. And you have to let go of those. You just have to let go of them. And I love the word, all the slights. Just let them go. You think, oh, that person did nothing. Let it go. Just let it go. Otherwise, your vessel is going to fill up and nothing is going to go into it. And nothing is going to go into it. All right. Now, that is what this month has been about. That's what these 3 weeks have been about, learning to let go. In fact, that's what this whole teaching is about, learning to let go so that you have an empty vessel to work with. So now I'll open it up for questions. Does anyone have any questions? Can I make anything more clear for you? Can I clarify anything?
I understand letting go and making room for the new and letting the new in. But can you talk a little more about how exactly to do that, the method?
Oh, the method of letting go? Well, you have, first of all, always boils down to you must notice what's going on in your thinking. Mm-hmm. How many times do you think the same thought over and over? How many times do you want to say, well, if that person back then would have done this, that, the other thing, things would have changed. You can't. And the only thing you can ever change, you can't change the past, but you can change your perception of the past. And you learn to change the perception of your past. And don't hold on to any of those things, you see? But we were taught what? You have to hold those things. You have to hold on. And I'm telling you, let go, because they don't serve you. Does that help you in any way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody else?
Yeah. It's refreshable on facts and truth, because I think a lot of myself sometimes gets a little clouded with the facts. So when you're seeing something, so whatever it is, whether it's lack of money, whether it's the homeless person, or whatever, and then all of a sudden you say, okay, where is the facts and the truth here?
They're all facts that you're looking at.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Truth is always God. Truth is always wisdom.
That's so how do you relate them? You see what I'm saying? When you're looking at somebody so impoverished, then that's a fact. Okay.
That is a fact.
So how do you relate the truth to that person or whatever circumstances?
Let's not worry about correlating the truth to them. Why don't we worry about correlating the truth to you? Why don't you look at them and say, they're living in facts, they're not living in the truth.
Right.
So I'm going to let go of the idea of facts and so forth, and I'm going to let God work in as and through them, as God is working in as and through me. I do not have the power to change their lives. But this thing called God does, you see. We want to meddle with other people's lives. We cannot do that. Learn your own life. Learn your own truth. And see But everything that's going on around you, people, is facts. And the facts have covered up all the truth, you see. So what we want to do is pull the curtain back. That's it. The curtain is the facts, and all you're looking at is the facts. Behind all those facts, oh my, there's truth. You see? There's the truth. A good one to do is in your bank account and so forth. If you look at your checkbook and it says, oh, I only have $10 left in the bank, and you say, oh, that's a truth, that's a reality. No, it isn't. That's a fact. What is the truth?
The money's always from the surplus, and we have a limited supply.
Yes. You have to always go to the truth. Facts are very convincing. And why are they so convincing? We grew up with facts. What did we learn in school? Did we learn how to think? No. We learned facts. We learned one fact after the other. We put them on top of each other and we said, oh, that's what life is. Life is not facts, people. Life is truth. You see? Does that help you?
Yeah. It's just, I think sometimes, like you said, you look at the fact, you look at some of these really bad situations that are occurring in the world, like you said, those women that got, their kids that got taken away, and all of a sudden, okay, that's a fact. The truth is what here? You kind of say, my God, I know these are facts, but where's the truth here?
But the truth is that God is always working in as and through all those people, and God is working in as and through the people who took those children, and those children are being returned to their parents right here and right now. You just have to look at the situation differently. Horrendous. Some of the situations are absolutely horrendous. But you cannot buy into that. You cannot buy into that. Anyone else?
When I think about when I think about my personal view of life, how I observe things, and my personal voice, and whenever I find myself feeling less than, and most of the time it is not. When I'm not feeling worthy, deserving, totally lovable, or that it matter. But I just recently realized that there's also an aspect of it that comes from my forgetting that I'm a spiritual entity that has always existed and always will, and that this is just a moment. This is a time period where my consciousness is here. And I realized I need help remembering that truth, that that I'm a spiritual being. How can I remember that?
Well, you just have to start out by remembering that. But the way what you said that was interesting to me was when you feel less than. As soon as your mind feels less than, and you think that you're less than, what part of your mind is that?
Ego.
The ego mind. The ego mind always wants to make you less than. So now you realize, I'm using my ego mind. I want to use the divine part of myself. And I want to learn to think differently. So you change that and you say, now I'm looking at it with my divine mind and I can see through this illusion that is going on. And you just keep doing that till it happens for you. And your mind will still say, oh, who do you think you are? Do you really think you're going to be able to do? Yeah. I have to go do it constantly because my mind loves to tell me, now, Dallas, you can't, But how can I tell you about my mind or mind itself? When I leave here after I teach a class on the way home, my mind says, well, you didn't tell them that, right? They didn't understand that. you should have said this, 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 mm-hmm. and this. You didn't add that. You forgot this. You did. Da 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 da. And I have to say to it, shut up. Shut up. You see? And bring myself back and say, I said exactly what I was supposed to say. I could have said more, but I said exactly what I was supposed to say, you see. And then, once I calm that down, and once I get that ego out of the way, before I reach home, next week's talk has already started in my mind. Next week's talk has already started in my mind. You see. Two said, oh, you make this thing sound so effortless and easy. Well, I think it is effortless and easy. It takes a lot of thinking sometimes and so forth. But when I let go of that idea that I don't know what I'm saying, then things come to me. Then things come to me. I have to remember that I'm always using the mind of God, and that God is always communicating with me. And to me, sometimes thoughts come into my mind and it blow my mind, and I think, oh, Dallas, you can't tell those people that. How do you know that? How do you can't, you know. You can't. But then I sit down and realize I'm having that thought because God is giving it to me. Because God is giving me that thought. And then I go on about my business. You see? Does that help you at all? We are individualized expressions of this thing called God, and we have to be able to use it individually. You see? So God is working in you and me and everybody else. It's always there working and always knocking at that door. But so politely, you have to listen for it. You have to listen for it. Question? Anybody? Nope. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God.
Only
ask again.
Hey, what did they used to do? Amen.
Amen.
I have, when I was not teaching, I was giving a talk at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, which I would, every once in a while they'd ask me to talk there. And I had what I called my Amen Corner. I would say something and five people would go, Amen. I thought it was funny.
Did you get a hallelujah?
I didn't get a hallelujah, but I got Amen. Yes, Jerry.
Well, I'm just thinking here and let go, and suddenly I became, you know, pretty aware of how when I get out there in the day doing my thing, and sometimes my mind just, I mean, I don't know, I think maybe when I get in a stressful situation or in fear, it's really hard for me to let go, real hard. I may not be able in a particular moment, I may not be able to do it right then.
Right.
It's got such a hold on me.
Because fear has a very big claws, and it digs into you, and it holds on. So you must look at that fear, and you must say, fear. There can't be such a thing as fear. If you're into fear, you're worshiping something else. You see. There's only God, and in God there is no fear. Now, fear will come up in your ego mind, and fear, of course, the world, what does the world teach? The world doesn't teach God. The world teaches nothing but fear. It teaches absolutely nothing but fear. Yet also lately I've noticed that the world has probably always done this, and I'm just now noticing it. It teaches all these ugly, ugly little things about relationships and so forth. There's a commercial on television for, well, I don't know, one of the insurance companies, maybe it's Allstate, where the man is up talking on the phone. The wife comes down, it's late at night, and she comes, "Who are you talking to?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, right.
That's teaching you jealousy. And that's teaching you mistrust. That's teaching you all that. And that's certainly not a loving relationship that the two are in. But it's teaching that. I wouldn't buy insurance from that company. But you see, that's those, all those little subtle things that the rest of the world picks up, and we say, oh, well, that's the way. Oh, yeah, women are that way. Women are always jealous of their man. You see?
Mistrustful.
Mistrustful. That's what the world is teaching. These are the things that when you look at, you must notice those and say, oh, not a damn word of truth in that commercial. And why are they doing that? You see, eventually it will change. But we have, that's an old concept, that men, that the jealousy runs through relationships and all that. And she looks like a monster to me, which, you know. That's the things, the little subtle things in life that you must look at and say, that's not going to condition me in any way. I'm not going to believe those things. I'm not going to believe those things. Now, we'll go back a moment to when I am in the land of Nod. They believe all that stuff. I told you a long time ago, they very seldom start out a conversation that doesn't have a prefix to it, which is, now you know, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I feel like saying, well, then shut up. If you're not the sharpest knife, I don't want to hear from you. You see? You don't want to be around people like that. You want to be around intelligent people. You want to be around people that are talking. You don't want to be around people that are putting themselves down. So in that atmosphere that there, where I grew up, no one ever told anyone that they were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they mattered. No one ever told them that. And they're repeating that. And repeating it and repeating it. And handing it down to the next generation. And that's what we don't want to do. You're saying, we do not want to hand that kind of garbage down to the next generation. We don't want commercials on television that show a relationship of jealousy, and that women are allowed to be jealous and it's all right. And that jealousy shows that she loves that man. You see, that's not love, people. That's not love. That's downright jealousy. So, but there are many of them, I noticed lately on television, that are demeaning. That are demeaning, and they're teaching something that people are saying, oh yeah, that's the way relationships are, or that's the way life is, and this, that. And you start to believe that stuff, you see. And you must not believe that, you see. So we have to become aware, and most people are not aware. And to become aware means you must notice what's going on. That's all. Just notice what's going on. It's easy as that. Mr. Scott, do you have a question? I see something going on in your mind back there.
My mind is free and clear. Okay.
Tony? No? No one?
When you're about to have something shift in your life and there's a resistance there, is that ego, is that fear, is that a combination of both?
Well, I probably
the good. The good. I mean, it should be for the good.
Yeah, but that's probably a combination of everything, because the mind always takes the route of least resistance, and it's easier to fall back on the old than to change something. The resistance is got when you're changing, because the mind does not want to change, so you become all kinds of the resistance. So it's easier for the mind to always go the same way. And it loves to take that route. But we cannot take that route anymore, you see. Back to that commercial, it'd be quite easy to look at it and laugh and say, isn't that funny and so forth, and go on about your business. Be easy to do that. But you have to notice it and say, that is not the way life is, and that's not the way relationships are, and I don't want this in my life anymore. I don't want this thing of jealousy and envy and hate and all that going on. You're saying we take all that for granted. Why do we take all that for granted? Because we were taught that they're human qualities. And they're not human qualities. You see? They're man-made qualities. We made all that stuff up to cover our rear ends. See? We don't want to do that to ourselves anymore. We want to notice what is going on in this life so that we can change it. That's all it's about, is learning to change it.
Something interesting happened it was yesterday at church. I was with the kids yesterday, the teens, and the subject was, how do you define beauty? And they were asked to define beauty and then draw a picture of it. And every one of the teens, and these are some incredible teens, they're so bright and so aware and just, they're just so wonderful. Every one of them defined beauty as a physical thing. Because, and all of them were saying, you know, if you don't fit this image, then you're not considered beautiful, you must have long hair, you must, they had a whole list of things that that they felt the teenagers, or I guess most people, defined as beauty.
Yes.
They didn't get any further than the physical, because this is what they're experiencing right now.
You must get past that physical and realize that physical beauty has nothing to do with anything. And
that's what I told you.
And it's also depends where you are, where physical beauty is.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Right. Look at the natives and who put the great big lips and have these great big lips, and the bigger your lip is, the more beautiful you are.
See? Everyone has a different concept.
Everyone has a different concept.
Come back in vogue, apparently.
Yeah, well, it hasn't come back into vogue.
Well, you know,
with those
the injections.
Oh, with those injections. Oh, my goodness, yes. They're horrible.
And it's just very interesting.
Yeah. And somebody else is giving them an idea, the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So forth.
That's
giving,
what they were saying as well.
It's giving them an idea of what beauty is. And can't you see that beauty has changed over the centuries, what we consider beautiful? Does anyone remember Rodin?
Mm-hmm.
His big, voluptuous women? That was considered absolutely top beauty. Now, if you don't weigh 69 pounds or something, you're not beautiful, you see. Yes, it's in the mind. Beauty is in the mind. And you must see beauty everywhere. And everything, why do we have to say, oh, you don't fit the mold? That's, you see. As soon as somebody doesn't fit the mold, people say, oh, they're ugly or they're this, that, or everything. Who wants to fit in a mold all the time and walk around, you know, thinking, oh, I have to do this, that, and the other thing to myself, or people won't consider me beautiful? change your consciousness, make your consciousness beautiful, and then people will only see the consciousness. They will not see the physical. See? They will not see the physical. The physical is always going to fade. It's always going to go away. The consciousness never goes away. It remains. Always remains. And you know, don't you know some people that you just absolutely love them? Because what? They show qualities of kindness and gentleness and God-like qualities and so forth, and you love them. And you don't know and even realize.
Well, that was my definition of the beauty. It was love. Mm-hmm. And love is surrounded by love with trees and the moon and the stars and all of these, God, the flowers.
Yes. And we're so thankful to be able to see all this beauty and so forth. I pity the people when I walk at nighttime. I love to look up and see the stars and see the moon and all that. And I think, I hope a lot of people are out looking at this stuff. There's so many people who never see anything, you know, and it's absolutely beautiful at nighttime. The best thing in the world to do, I think, I love it, is to walk in a full moonlight and know that that's coming down, you know, filtering down on you, that wonderful light, you see. So, give up any concept you have of what beauty is all about. It's too, not only disturbing, it's too hateful and too wounding to people. Because they think they don't fit into that category. Because they think they don't fit into that category. And here again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but regardless, it's always subjective to the society, to the country that you live in, you're saying. It's always so. It's a subjective type thing, so you can't, you know, to fall for it is absolutely ridiculous because it changes. You know, if we would go to one of those countries where they, or the big, all those neck things, well, they would think we're ugly.
Well, look who they just voted as one of the most beautiful women in America, and that was Lupita, the African lady that won the award.
For
assistant.
For 12 years as a slave.
Supporting him.
Yes.
Who won the Academy Award?
No, I know who she is, but who won Best Actress? Maybe she won Best Actress.
No, she won Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, right, it was the other one in Woody Allen's movie. Yeah. Luke Johnson.
Yeah, and she's very African looking. She's just very beautiful. And, you know, a few years ago, that would have been on Howard.
Absolutely.
So everything changes.
Everything changes. Any more questions? So work on your consciousness, and that's all you ever have to work on, is your consciousness. What are you thinking? And remembering what you think about, you bring about. It's stretching that consciousness. It's putting something new in your consciousness so that when you put something new in your consciousness, you will start to see something new. If you don't put something new in your consciousness, you will never see anything new. You will see the same old, same old. So, change your consciousness. Change your life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.